All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, enjoy the weather while you still got it. It's a little bit hot outside. It's nice and cool inside. That's where we are. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. It is The Usual Suspects. It is Tuesday, and we do need to pick a way back Wednesday. We'll just throw that out there right now. But before that, we always like to touch base and see what's been going on in the last, 22 and a half hours, something like that?
21 hours.
21 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had an interaction on text last night, so I counted that as a half hour.
Oh, okay. Well, the peeps weren't involved, but the listeners.
But still, we touch base.
Okay. So anything exciting for you? I know it wasn't a big sports night, that's for sure.
No, not a lot. Not a lot. Not a lot going on. I did not watch women's basketball.
Nope, I did not either. If you were tuning in for a breakdown, you can just keep it moving.
Yep.
Move it on along.
That ain't going to happen.
Suck it. Ain't happening.
And not going to be a whole lot to talk here about tonight based on the guys that we can get to that aren't playing for your Rockets tonight. But other than that, not a lot. And you know what I was mad about?
What?
Literally, I was mad about.
Oh, literally mad?
I want some thinking. I want a thought.
Here we go.
I want answers.
Uh-oh,
all right?
Uh-oh.
Last night, Astros at home. Nothing's on TV. Let's just check and see. I haven't been watching spring training games, as you know. So let's just see what's been going on with the squad. Let's see how they look, tuning up for the Rangers. Let's check in at Minute Maid. No TV for the Astros last night.
Yeah.
Blummer's tweeting. I go, why? He goes, I can't answer that.
Now he can or he won't?
I think he just doesn't want to dip his employer in the grease.
Yeah, probably not.
But if you're going to be AT&T
really miss
Sportsnet and you're going to be covering day games in Florida, put the damn game on last night.
Bro, you really didn't miss much. It's spring training.
I understand that. It's Milwaukee, too. But, I mean, at least I'd like to see the final tune-up games to see the guys on the roster and what they're doing. Just a little bit.
You missed.
Plus, there was nothing on TV.
According to old hot take Creighton,
you missed the
Kyle Tucker experience. Is that what you're sad about?
I mean,
fifth home run of the spring.
I wouldn't mind seeing him.
You'll get to see him plenty.
According to Patrick Creighton, we will.
And everybody that knows at least 5% about baseball.
According to Patrick Creighton, we will.
That was a shot.
See,
I feel like that was a shot.
You know.
Yeah, Tucker, they're certainly not going to let him make the squad out of camp. And then that starts his clock too soon. See Acuna out in Atlanta. They're not doing that either.
Right. And you and I have talked about all this.
Yeah, that major league clock, they need to get that fixed next time.
But there was crap on TV, and I thought, well, at least I can watch the Stros and catch a little baseball.
Not
I love watching some baseball, and it didn't happen.
Nope.
Brutal.
So I had quite the interesting drive in.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. You know, the Galleria is such a mess, and
yes,
people get upset, and I might be one of those guys that gets a little aggressive when I drive, but mainly because...
Now, Nick aggressive or aggressive?
No, Nick aggressive.
Okay.
For sure. Like, the thoughts of, mean things go through my head when I'm driving in traffic in the Galleria. So, I'm pulling an a-hole move and I'm trying to feeder hop. You know what that is, right? Feeder hopping. Nick does it all the time. Nick's a definite feeder hopper. You're a feeder hopper.
You're going three lanes over and sniping in at the last minute?
No, he's a total feeder hopper.
What do you mean? I've never heard that.
So you guys don't know what a feeder hopper is?
No, I've never heard the term.
So, all right, when you're coming in from the north side on 610, right, the traffic will slow down right there at the Woodway exit.
Yep.
And so it's bad all the way past Richmond in that area. But you can exit Post Oak and then get back on the freeway.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I totally do that.
Yeah, so you're the guy that'll exit and then ride in that left lane and then get back on the freeway and then exit and get back on the freeway. And I'll do that in the Galleria because it does save some time, but I don't usually do that, right? But I do it down here coming to work. By the way, the other day I got behind a guy doing that, but he was only going 30 when he would exit. He just stayed steadily going 30. It was driving me insane. Anyways, so I'm exiting Post Oak, and this car is trying to get all the way over. Like, she won't go. And so she just won't get out of the way because other people aren't stopping because they don't have to yield for her. So I just start honking, and I don't stop until she gets out of the way.
Oh, God.
And it took about 35 seconds.
You laid on the horn for 35 seconds?
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a lot, but if I sat here and went, ha, on the radio for 35 seconds, we would lose every single listener we had.
Oh, yeah.
It would be that annoying. So I figured she got the point. Well, this was me getting off the freeway. So I squeezed around her as she's slowly getting over, right? And then I move up to where I'm getting back on the freeway again, and there's traffic to get on. So she passes by me, and she stops and motions to me to come on. I've got this old lady, this old African-American lady, wants to whoop my ass now. She is motioning at me. She's making the come on motion. She's telling me to pull over. She's like, come on, bitch. And she called me a bitch. I saw her mouth. I saw her mouth the word bitch and say, come on. And I was like, oh, damn. I don't want to get my ass whooped right now. I was more nervous about this black woman beating my ass than I would have been if it would have been some Bubba in a 4x4 with a rebel flag and a gun rack. I wouldn't have been as nervous as I was about this lady. And it was an old, like, old Lexus, like an 80s Lexus. So you know she don't play. Like, that's her baby. Like, she's had that car forever. And, boy, she was not happy with
me. She was having none of you.
No. She was pissed. But I was pissed. Yes.
35 seconds of that?
Of that.
I think everyone around you should have been pissed.
She was. When she called me a bitch, I knew she was serious. I was like, oh, no, I can't. I can't do that. I'm not going to get my ass whooped by this old lady. Nope. So, you're not going to see. That won't be how I get famous, okay? That's not going to be. It's not going to be local, unknown radio personality.
No, you're already gets famous.
Gets ass whooped by 75-year-old African-American lady in the Galleria.
So how did it end?
It ended with me speeding off in a hurry.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that ending.
And
were you
she, Nick? Look, she was.
Did she follow you or try to follow
no,
you?
No, I think she, because it was trafficy. I mean, she really,
oh, yeah,
she wanted
couldn't
to catch
really,
me.
Even if she wanted
but
to.
But she actually, you know, because it's like three or four lanes on the feeder. So I'm in the far left because you can exit and then you get right back on right there at Post Oak. So she had gotten all the way over to the right and then came over another lane where I was stopped and she stopped. So the cars behind her were going, what's going on? And she's just, come on, bitch, motioning to me. I was like, oh, man, go, cars, go, go.
I would have loved to seen Barry's facial expression when she came at him like that. Like,
I was stunned.
Bug-eyed and like, oh, nope, I'm out.
I was stunned because I was like, oh, you have picked on the wrong person, Laminac. You have screwed it up.
But there's absolutely nothing wrong with a feeder hopper, by the way.
Okay.
If you don't know the trick, that's on you, sir.
Yeah, I guess if you're not taking advantage of all the loopholes in the traffic, that's your bad,
dude,
it'll
literally save you like 10 or 15 minutes, especially if it's really trafficy on 59 and I'm trying to get to Toyota Center.
Yeah.
I'll do that quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And is it really that effective?
It really is.
It'll knock 2, 3, 4
minutes. But you have to know which exits actually have, like, right when you exit, there's the entrance ramp right there. Because sometimes you have to go through a light. You have to pick the right exit.
In Sugar Land, it works great when you're heading in from, like, right before 99. If you're heading in before 99, past Telfair exit, you can do that as you get around the mall.
Okay.
You can definitely do that right around the mall.
Well, just don't honk at people trying to exit the freeway.
I guess not.
You will catch an ass whooping.
You just caught the wrong person. You're not going to. That's not going to stop you from
honking. I was
like,
damn, Madea is going to whoop my ass right now. This is
wow,
not
you fired
good.
Her up and then you bailed.
Yeah, I wasn't sticking around for that.
Why don't you sit on the horn some more?
Look, somebody texted, feeder hopping saves me 15 minutes coming back into town from Katie
telling you.
On I-10.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a deal.
Who knew? There you have it. All right. We learned a term, and we saw true colors. We're going to continue to roll on. If you want to join the show today, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for a long time. I got almost all my furniture from Gallery Furniture, and there's lots of reasons why. They've been in Houston a long time. They do what they say they're going to do, and they have solid wood and quality furniture that's going to last maybe even a lifetime. That's the way they do business. Check out their three locations. It's Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. It's the Galleria area across the street from Dillard's on Post Oak. And it's I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker, both ways. Max sits at the front desk. He puts you in capable hands after he greets you of his salespeople. And everybody along the way is going to be accommodating. And everything they say, they're going to do. They're going to save you money. There's going to be no back order slips. You buy today, you get it tonight. That's the way they do business. And with brands like Stickley, they have solid wood, American-made furniture. It's leather. It's upholstered. It's everything you want at a price you can afford. Their accounting and finance department will work with you on payment options. And they're going to also be customer service friendly when they deliver the product. They're going to move furniture out of the way. They're going to get rid of what you don't want. They're going to rearrange furniture in other rooms so that they get the new furniture in for you and ask you if there's any other way they can help you out, because they know that you're in Houston and you're going to be here a while. So are they. They want you to come back again and again. Again, like I said, check out one of their three locations. And remember, Gallery Furniture really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. It's the next segment of the show as we continue to take you up until 4 o'clock. It is indeed The Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel, all present and accounted for right here in our cozy little studio. We've got a phone call, Barry.
What?
It's an interesting topic. It says radio personality rumble.
Lawrence, oh, boy.
What's up?
Yeah. My kids was watching wrestling last night, and I said, man, that'd be a crazy subject for them guys to go ahead and see the 97.5 Raw Rumble, man. Who will win? And can y'all give me one? Can I do me one favor and give my little girl London a shout out?
She's absolutely.
Change the radio station.
What's up, London? Make sure that you listen to Daddy if he ever says earmuffs during a segment. But we appreciate you guys listening for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, for sure, London. Don't be bad. Stay in school. Say no to drugs and listen to The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, but
and your life will
us
be great.
Sometimes with the topic matter.
Yeah, and don't listen to Joel.
And ignore the last comment.
No, you can't keep adding. You're going to confuse her.
You already did.
No, I didn't. I give good life advice.
Is there like an age?
I should have been a dad. I totally should have been a dad.
You should not have been a dad.
No,
thank
never.
You. Thank you.
Yeah. A cat dad, okay, but a human dad, absolutely not.
Yeah, you can being cat daddy is okay, but other than that.
AJ would probably win the Rumble.
We've already been through all that.
So who, now, I'm guessing it would just be ESPN 97.5.
Well, that's what he said.
Palillo ain't taking anybody.
Well, I'm thinking Salisbury is a tough out.
Oh, that's
Sean
another
is a really
too.
Tough out.
Forgot
that's
about that.
That's what I'm
that.
Saying. As long as we're all on the same team, if it was like against other stations, although when you can take ex-NFL guys, you got ex-NFL guys at other stations too that make it hard.
Well, you go for the knees. They got bad knees, all of them.
Man, I'll tell you what. Steroids do evil things to a people's disposition.
A lot of front kicks to the knees, they'll fold right in half.
Okay.
If not, just shoot. Double leg, take them down. Everybody's the same size when you're on the ground.
If I went for a double leg on Sean, I'd probably just stop.
On Salisbury?
I just bounce off. Right there.
Oh!
Like hitting a telephone pole?
Yeah. It'd be a disaster.
It'd be like trying to take down a car. If it's just 97.5, yeah, AJ is going to win.
Without question.
There's no doubt. Because he's kind of in that mix where, if it wasn't AJ, because he's trained longer to fight than any of us. Because I know Nick trained a little bit, I trained a little bit, Raheel's trained. Fred is trained, but nobody's trained as long or had fights, professional fights like AJ. So of course he's gonna win.
I mean, we've already talked about this. As grown ass men, it's all fun and games. But yeah, when you've been not a professional, but you've been fighting in the ring in MMA and done amateur events and things like that. Yeah, of course.
Although
you have an
I don't let AJ forget when he first started training, he was mainly just jiu-jitsu, and I was training Muay Thai. And so he came to a seminar. We did a Muay Thai seminar together. I wore him out.
Did you really?
Yeah, because he wasn't doing much stand up and striking. Now it wouldn't even be close. But now, so I remind him.
But you always remind him.
He's like, but I'll whip your ass though. Like, I'm like, yeah, well, I remember leg kicking you until you were like, stop.
Of course, I will say this. I hope when he was doing this more consistently, like he was doing these fights more frequently.
I've seen him break a dude's ankle.
But I'm saying, the last guy he fought, I felt bad for him because he trained all that time to take on this big tub of lard fat guy that he probably kicked the crap out of in about 30 seconds.
I've seen him at jiu-jitsu tournaments. He broke a dude's ankle because he's notorious for that. Like, you have to... If you're rolling with AJ and jiu-jitsu, you got to watch your ankles. He loves ankle
boxes. Plus, he's kind of deceivingly big. Like, he's not a small dude. If you don't see him in person. Because when I first started working here, I didn't think he was that big, honestly.
No, he's
a big dude.
He's strong, too.
Yeah.
He's very strong.
Wide shoulders. He's kind of a big dude.
Yeah, and I mean, he lifts. So, he's not like, it's not like, you've got guys that don't do any weights, but they still train to fight. And so, they're fit and all that. But he actually lifts, too. So, that's the thing. Sometimes in jiu-jitsu, skill will get you only so far. I've told the story 1,000 times, but I watched Derek Lewis just bench press a black belt. You're not supposed to be able to do that. When a black belt has full mount on you, you're not supposed to be able to pick that black belt up and just stand up. I saw him do that. And that's just when strength overpowers any sort of technique that you have. And so when you got
a
guy like...
That was my first time meeting him when we were at...
When you got a guy like AJ, he's got both. Skill and strength.
Derek Lewis is an impressive physical specimen.
He's a
big
dude,
man. He's just like naturally strong, too.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah,
he's scary. That's a guy I would never want to get hit by.
He does his leg work cutting his lawn. I mean, that's impressive in itself.
I would never want to get hit by that dude.
No.
Oh,
don't get on his bad side.
Cave my face in.
I can see why Lance was like, whatever Derek says, I'm with him. Every question we said to Lance. And I can see why. Yeah, we went through that whole row. And like last time, Seth Payne got all into it.
Did he?
Yeah, he started tweeting me going, now, wait a minute. Are we really going to do this? And is it this and that? And I'm like, come on, man. Seriously?
Somebody said, I heard Jong has been lifting.
Mm. You heard wrong.
Who's the first out in the Rumble? Is it Jong?
Probably me or Jong, probably, because I weigh 165. Patrick, I know he weighs Patrick 150, 155.
No, but you rolled, though, right?
I've rolled before, but still, I mean, so size makes a big difference, though. A massive difference.
Salisbury would have to carry 94.
Like, here's the thing. I think if somewhat, like, if you and I fought, when I hit you, I don't think you would be out. I think you would just get angry. Now, you might be that get off me guy. You know, the guy that just windmills, get off me, man, get off me.
No.
And the arms are just wheeling and dealing. Just
Nick, if you mix in
over the shoulder punches,
adrenaline and temper. For Nick,
that's what I'm saying.
I'd have to get angry.
You're like the Hulk. You're going to get angry if someone takes a shot at you.
You're like the Hulk. You're just like, you don't want me when I'm angry.
Nick, I didn't mean to upset you here. Smack. I smack you in the face. You're going to get mad.
Like, it's Granado and Lance, and then Raheel, Dell.
Who's Granado stopping?
Tyler.
Yeah, Granado's not stopping anybody. Lance has got a boot on.
Jong's definitely first one out.
I think Jong could take Granado.
You think so?
Yeah.
Wow.
We had the discussion about Granado or Fred Fowler. Remember we had that debate and you said Fred Fowler and I said Granado?
Yeah.
Fred's confident, man, but I don't know. I let him just run off his mouth. Here's the thing. I think
this is my favorite part. This,
I think
when you're evaluating somebody's fighting style,
I think Sister Jean could take Granado.
Oh, no.
I think Sister Jean could take Granado. I do.
We have our first.
That's the play-in game. That's the play-in game. Sister Jean versus Granado.
We have our first round matchup. It'll be Granado versus Joel.
Well, that is not even a match. God.
That's hilarious.
It's a warm-up for me, but.
Oh, my goodness. That is too
funny.
For
all the crap he talks, he's the biggest pot stirrer in the world, and then he just runs to the golf course.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Somebody said Way Back Wednesday option, best movie soundtrack. pick one movie and choose only songs from that movie.
Well, you know what movie I'd choose.
We kind of already did that.
You already know what I would choose.
What? Prince, Purple Rain?
No. Oh. Come on, man.
Footloose?
New Jack City. I'd just take the New Jack City soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I think I'd go Boomerang.
And Boomerang was another good
Boomerang
one.
Boomerang was.
Yeah. And legit. Then everybody keeps pushing. We got it again on Twitter. I think you guys should do 80s hair metal band. We've done it before. We've been through that game.
Oh, that was Yo Adrian, right?
Yeah. Somebody said first out Juggalo Trey. Yeah, he wouldn't be in it.
I love it. We had Mario Elian today.
And just, don't under... Well, never mind.
And
I'm
he goes,
say
and he goes...
I almost said something
it,
bad.
He was leaving. He goes, yo, where's the redheaded kid? I like him. I was like, I think he's off today. He worked like 80 hours yesterday.
If it was Royal Rumble style, this texter has a good point. If it's a Royal Rumble, it's all of us in the cage at once or in the ring at once. I think we all probably taken out AJ first.
That would be a smart move.
Like, gang up
on him. The three of us just go usual suspects on him and take him out.
Yeah, take out the biggest threat, no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, while Granato coaches us. And here's the thing, too. The bottom line is Salisbury wouldn't be in it unless we did with 94-1. And 94-1, then Jong's definitely not first one out because you've got just like so many candidates.
Joe George,
Charlie Palillo, and
Nate
Patrick
Griffin.
Creighton.
Nate Griffin looks like he's in shape, though.
Nate can handle his business.
I wouldn't be sleeping on Palillo either. He's athletic. He's quick.
Yeah, but he's like 5'2", man. That hurts.
It doesn't matter. Mighty Mouse is how big?
Short.
Yeah, but he's a monster. He's a short monster.
Palillo's a monster, bro. Have you seen him?
Yes, I have.
Who just said Palillo's a monster?
Me.
He did.
He's a beast.
What, is he going to short you to death? You're kidding me,
he's
right?
He's a beast. And he'll hit you with one of his Crocs. I just assume he wears Crocs.
No, he wears those Skechers.
I just assume.
He wears those Skechers mall walkers. Come on, man. He wears them in here.
Palillo wears
you.
Shape ups.
It's close.
He wears. You remember those ones?
He thinks Brooke, what's her name, is hot.
You remember
was the Kardashians were pushing that one for Skechers.
You remember the ones with the curved bottoms, the shape ups that was supposed to make your calves hot?
Yeah, Kardashian was swearing that they worked. Then they did some study and it was like, it's false. And she's like, I'm out.
Palillo rocks the shape ups. That ain't right. I tell you what is right. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen is always right, especially if you are hungry. It's still 1:30. I call that lunchtime. Get out there right now. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown. Get out there and get you some good lunch. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen has a mix of both Southern comfort and Indian food. That's the beautiful thing about this restaurant. You've got plenty of choices. And I've eaten just about everything on the menu, and there's very few things that I have not liked. Like, everything is so good. They've got some of the best butter chicken in Houston. They've got one of the best burgers in town. And I'm telling you right now, if you haven't tried the Himalayan Heat Burger, go there, try it, and then tweet at me and let me know how much you liked it. They've got wings, sliders, chicken curry, chicken fried steak. The assortment on that menu is unbelievable. That's the beauty of Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. And right now, if you get out there and mention ESPN 97.5, they will give you 20% off the non-quesadillas, which is this show's favorite thing. All three of us get those when we go there. And if you don't know, it's chicken quesadillas made with naan bread. And the sauce that they give you is called the 65 sauce. Oh, so good. While you're out there, do yourself one more favor. I got to give you one more recommendation. Get out there. Before you leave, get a slice of the red velvet cake. That's the new thing I'm trying to get people to try. It is so good. You're going to love that. They got a full-service bar so you can get your drink on and watch a game. And if you don't want to leave, if you can't leave but you're still hungry, you can have Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen delivered to your door via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. If you need more info, hit them up on Facebook, CNI713. They're located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the big show. It is Barry, it is Nick, it is Joel. It's the usual suspects on a Tuesday. We do know that it is way back Wednesday. The memory served me right to put it on the rundown so that we come up with something by the end of the day.
Yeah.
Nothing eventful happening at Toyota Center tonight, though, Nick, I know you will represent.
Are you going tonight?
Yeah, I was. I was planning on it. But I didn't know about the... Who's sitting out again? It's Harden.
So Harden's out with rest. Capella's out with rest. And Lukumba Mute continues to be dealing with tendonitis. So three sitting for the Rockets. I've heard Zach LaVine, Dunn, and possibly others for the Bulls. So it doesn't look like it's going to be a stellar matchup. And the Bulls are just trying to get the highest draft pick possible anyway. They already got warned by the league.
Have fun.
Yeah, that's probably a game I should skip, but I still think I'm going to go because I already made plans to go, so I'll probably will still be at Toyota Center.
You can break plans.
I can.
You're not locked into that.
I can.
They won't be disappointed in you if you don't go.
I know. I've gone to almost every home game, so.
I know.
But yeah.
But you do. I completely acknowledge that.
And then because Harden is not playing, he's obviously probably not going to meet with the media after the game or even before the game. But Mario Ellie's going to make an appearance. Right?
What?
Yeah, he's doing something there.
So for those of you
great
Mario Ellie fans from the...
yeah, but I don't know if it's like public or if it's...
I don't know either.
If they put him in a suite. He just said he was going and he's in and out.
Is he doing the free throw?
No.
No?
They should. They should have like championship
really
players.
That's a good idea.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. We'll give Joel the credit.
I just gave you credit. I mean, what do you want me to send you flowers? You got credit. It's a good idea.
I'm giving Joel the credit.
Why are you being so sensitive? I just said thanks.
He said it.
I just said thanks. Why are you being sensitive? All I said was thanks, guys.
No.
Like, thanks for acknowledging my good idea. And then there you go.
Nick, you're always good about updating who does that, too. Does Tillman actually pick those people?
I think
personally?
He picks a lot of them because sometimes, I think there's been at least two times where he's picked somebody from his TV show.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I know he picks a lot of Cougs. Because Case Keenum
like
did
one
it.
Was like, I guess she didn't get a deal, but she was a cancer survivor and she had a really good story. So she shot Eric Layden was, I don't know if that's a Daryl Morey or a Fertitta thing, but that could have been Fertitta. But yeah, I'm sure he picks a few of them. I think it was his idea.
I think it was Tillman's idea. You're right. Yeah.
I don't think Morey or anybody else came up with that idea.
Speaking of that too, very cool move by the Astros. First pitch for the first home game on Monday, Rich Dower. The first base coach that retired that almost passed away of that strange medical issue he had during the parade last year. And A.J. Hinch will catch the first pitch. So that was a nice touch by the Astros.
That is cool. Very cool. Dustin sent us a link to the story from Ken Rosenthal. Unfortunately, it's on The Athletic. And The Athletic has a paywall.
Yeah.
And he said, I thought that they removed the paywall. Well, they did and they didn't. So it is free if you want to read it, but you have to register. And I don't want to have to give my email to read an article.
No, I thought they normally will like release that for just a single story, but not for the entire site. Because I've been able to read individual stories before without registering.
Did you on The Athletic?
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know unless it ends with bench ...
I don't know. What link did he send us?
It's just it's on Twitter. I don't know. I'll retweet it if anybody wants to go pay to read it. I'll be happy to do that.
Okay. About Rich Dower, you mean?
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. I mean, just Brian McTaggart tweeted it, and he just said that A.J. Hinch is going to catch for Rich Dower.
No, but the whole story, like happened and the details behind it.
Matter of fact, I read
some of the details are
when it first came
amazing.
Out. I read it, and it was one of the free stories. And now I'm sure after time has passed. If you want to go back in the archives, you'll have to pay to read it. But it's a fantastic story. And thank God he's alive because he really, really lucked out that he had great medical care and people that took extra care when they realized something was wrong when he was at that parade.
Right. I hate to do this to you guys.
Oh, boy.
Well, never mind then.
Go ahead. It's always, what do you want me to do, cartwheels when you start with, well, I hate to do this to you guys.
I can't find the link right now. But I swear I saw a headline that said there's going to be another ball in the NBA. Potentially.
What?
LiAngelo.
Oh, that. Are you glad you brought it up?
Is making himself available for the draft. who has a better chance of getting drafted? Him or me? Like, I feel like he has a slightly better chance only because he's a slightly more athletic.
Now,
who's drafting this cat?
I think it's funny because he's now the leading scorer in the league in Lithuania.
Oh, that's great.
But I think that the most important thing is the reason why he's declaring is so that for daddy's, again, everything they do is with daddy in mind, because daddy's idea is if he doesn't get drafted, then he's a free agent. Then he can concoct this plan where he gets them all three to play on the same
team. Not in the NBA. He's not going to be able to do that in the NBA. Overseas, I can see it.
Yeah, there's no way an organization, a general manager, any ownership group, it wants to deal with the headache that comes with him trying to say that he controls the organization because he's got three kids on the same team. And if he thinks that the Lakers are going to do that, I think Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka would rather trade his son than try and fathom any scenario where three – this is going to sound great, Nick, but any scenario where three balls is better than one. Because I'm telling you right now, one ball is enough. Yep, one ball is enough.
But you look at Doc Rivers and his son, and that didn't work.
Right, but at the same time, Doc Rivers doesn't stir it up like daddy does.
That's true. That is true. But, I mean, they should look at that Clippers situation as an example and say, look, it doesn't necessarily work. And there's always going to be some sort of preferential treatment regardless of what the coach says. You know, a lot of people don't believe Austin Rivers is that good at all. So, I mean, he probably deserves to be in the NBA, but perhaps not as many minutes as he's gotten. And I know a lot of it has been because of injury, but still.
Yeah, it's a deal where you're right. There's a lot of animosity in the league about Austin Rivers because of the fact that they feel like he only has a job and he definitely has a prominent role in a rotation simply because of his father. And Chris Paul, I think some of the animosity that he has had in the past and maybe still has with Austin Rivers, it derives from the fact that he would have better players backing him up and planning that rotation when he was with the Clippers than what Austin Rivers brought to the table.
Well, admittedly, I don't watch a lot of Laker games, so I just wanted to see what Lonzo Ball is doing for the year. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 10 points a game, 7 assists a game.
Yeah, he almost
That's
had a
pretty legit.
He gets close to triple doubles, but it's all on the low end.
Yeah, he's a 10-7-7
guy.
Right. 10 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds, which from your point guard, if you can get 7 assists and 7 rebounds a game, you could do worse. I mean, he would be tied with Draymond Green if he had enough games to qualify for the assist
league. You're talking about Lonzo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would be 7th in the league in assists, tied with Draymond Green.
Yeah, dubbing him the Rookie of the Year was obviously a big mistake, but I did say he would be better than what people are making him out to be. But the shot does look awful, but I just felt like he saw the floor very well, and he obviously does if he's getting those numbers in terms of assists.
He
I just don't know
ability.
If that's going to develop.
It's like Markelle Fultz, but not quite to that level. He has ability, but his shot is just broken. And
yeah, well, that's the thing. I think the expectation was that he was going to be able to score as well. He's not a scorer.
No, he really is not, and he's a facilitator first. He does have good court vision. He's got all the skill in the world, and I think you can work with him. I remind you guys all the time of the fact that Jason Kidd and Gary Payton came into the league without a shot, and oh, by the way, they developed it because of the fact that Jason Kidd is top three all time and made threes, which is unbelievable to me, but he did it, and Payton became a pretty good jump shooter. It can be done, but it's going to take some work, and when you look back on it, if you were going to do that draft over again, I'm pretty sure that two of the top three might not be there because of the fact that he's steady, but is he a guy you're going to build your franchise around like daddy thinks he is? I don't think so.
No. I mean, he's got his PER, his PER is 12.45, which isn't terrible.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, but think about that. Now Jason Tatum is a guy you could build around.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Danny Ainge traded down, still getting the player that he wanted, because he knew that the other two teams got suckered in. Fultz didn't have a shot, and Ball's got daddy and the Lakers around his little finger.
But you've got a point guard that can rebound, and you've got a point guard that can distribute. If you had some scorers around him, his effectiveness, I think, would be even that much better.
Sure, but do you want to waste a top three pick on him?
That's the thing, no.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you did, but now it's a matter of, okay, you know the Lonzo Ball is not going to be
I'm saying you're the general manager of a team with a top three pick in last year's draft.
Well, I think that's the problem is everyone was expecting him to come into the NBA and also be a scorer. You knew he could pass a little bit and had good court vision, but I think that the problem or the mistake that everybody made was, well, he's supposed to score too. Well, that if that's not what he is, then he's not going to.
And a part of that may have been because there was a couple games where he did have and talking about in his college years,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's going to translate well in the NBA.
Exactly. It's a lot easier to score because the point I made several weeks ago on why I don't watch college basketball is most of the guys on the floor aren't NBA caliber. So guys' numbers are going to be inflated. They're playing against inferior competition.
I think the Lakers were pressured into doing it because all you had to do was look at the tournament game where De'Aaron Fox just annihilated him in a big-time game with Kentucky and UCLA. He stepped up huge, and ball disappeared. Okay, he's got some work to do. So, all right, we'll continue to move on. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line, where you can call, you can text, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Still in the first hour of the big show. Barry, Nick, Joel, all present and accounted for. Usual Suspects. I know this will get under Rockets fans' skin.
Uh-oh.
But I know they're going to get fired up about this, and maybe they should. But Steve Kerr, for the first time since Curry went down with his second injury and this knee issue that has been a huge topic of what will the Warriors do, especially if he's out any time at all, and they're guesstimating he may be out for at least the first round of the playoffs. Curry is saying he's going to try and be back. But at what level? Kerr says we can win any game and any series without Steph Curry.
Mm. I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
When did Barry say that you captured that audience?
I don't know, Barry. What did you say?
That's not me, obviously.
I don't know about obviously.
completely obvious. I have a manly, deep, sexy voice. That was not.
Now, whether it was a message directly at the Rockets or not, you know that they're going to take it personally without question. Because, you know, as Daryl Morey says, we're obsessed with them every day. And as we're getting closer to hopefully the inevitable and the matchup with the Warriors, Kerr is not exactly dousing the fire with water. He's fanning the flames and saying we can beat anybody even without Steph.
I mean, you could do worse than a trio of Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. I don't know why I always forget his name. But you could do a lot worse than that. I mean, that three is better than a lot of other teams' big threes.
Sure.
I would take that three over the big three in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, because Carmelo is such a...
Exactly. But so you could do a lot worse. So, yes, could the Warriors, can they win a first-round matchup without Steph Curry? Absolutely. Can they win a title without him? It's obviously going to be a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I think that the Rockets fans will take it personally. I think teams in the East should take it personally, too, and go, all right, slow down now, okay? Because here's the thing. We're assuming, as he is, that you can win a series without Curry as long as you still have the other three. The other three, now Draymond Green's coming back. Durant supposedly close. We haven't heard an update on Klay Thompson. But even when they come back, it's not like you come back and you're already got your cardio back and your game speed wind back and you're ready to get into it. And then there's all the disconnects with your team. The one thing if you watch the Warriors play this year, separate from the way they've played when they've won championships, is they do, similar to the Rockets, have some isolation games that they play with Curry and all the four guys. Mm-hmm. But when they're isolating, the other guys are still moving. They're cutting. There's a lot of activity. With the Rockets, they don't do that. This year, neither do the Warriors. And the Rockets have mastered how to do it without the other movement. The Warriors, it's always been a staple of their system that they still have a lot of guys in action and a lot of movement. They don't do that this year. They're standing around. And a lot of young kids that don't know what to do because they don't have the same kind of pedigree of experience that the rest of that team used to have when they had a deep bench.
Yeah, that's the one thing that you know, you can get a big four, but then it's similar to kind of what the Spurs are going through. The Spurs were used to being so deep and that everybody knew the system and knew. Man, you watch some Spurs games and half those guys don't even know where to be on the floor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they seem to be getting it together a little bit more as of late, but early on when they were struggling as a team, the Spurs were, especially without LaMarcus Aldridge, it was even worse. But this, it'll be interesting to see because this isn't as deep of a team as you just said. Mm-hmm. They are younger once you get past seven, you know, six, seven deep in the rotation. And without Steph Curry, now you're going to have to rely on some of those guys to play meaningful minutes. And that's why I wanted to go through the exercise today of who are the Warriors going to face in the first round. They've got eight games to get healthy and to get back to as a unit and to get cohesive. And that's all without Steph Curry. But they have eight games to get everybody back in shape and ready to go and working as one unit for the playoffs. And I tell you what, the West, even when you get down to 7 and 8 and you start talking about the Jazz, those teams aren't pushovers. I mean, the Jazz isn't a layup.
Look, you don't want to face a team that has Rudy Gobert guarding the paint.
In the playoffs, when it slows down.
And a kid, though he's not been in the playoffs before, but a kid that's fearless like Donovan Mitchell, that's athletic as all get out. And guys, look, they may not be able to score like they did when they had Haywood and a really effective Joe Johnson. But the bottom line is, they're one of the number one, they're one of the top three defensive teams in the league.
They are the top.
You do not want to face that come playoff time.
The Spurs are.
Right. You don't want to face that come playoff time. So you're right. And look, and here's the other thing, like we were trying to do yesterday. It may not be decided to the last game of the regular season, mm-hmm. like the year that the Rockets ended up winning the division when the Spurs lost to the Pelicans. You may not know the seeds until the final night. And believe me, the teams, including the Rockets, are going, I don't know if there's certain teams I just would rather not face. Not that they're fearful of anybody, but there's easier first-round matchups to be had, especially if you're a one or a two seed, than if you all of a sudden see a team like OKC or the Spurs slide into that 7 or 8. That first-round series isn't supposed to be that tough.
Right. Well, I don't know that the Spurs... I guess so. We'll find out.
I mean, as of going into tonight, 10-4... are decided by like 3.5 games.
That's 4 games right now.
Okay, so 3.5 or 4, depending on how many games you have left to play. But the bottom line is, that's crazy that when you start getting into like 4, 5, 6, 7, one win and one loss between two teams can shift the entire thing completely upside down.
Yeah, especially when you talk about 5 through 8, that being 17, 17, 18, and 18.5 back of the one seed,
yep.
Which tells you that the Pelicans and the Spurs are tied. And the Jazz are one game back of those two teams, and the Wolves are 1.5 back. That's a jumbled up mess
and
right now.
And you looked the other night when OKC was 4 and they lost to Portland and they slid to like 6 or 7. But then again, if you come back the next night, you win and someone else loses, and based on tiebreakers, you can get right back in it. Portland is the only team really distancing in this. They finally distanced themselves to where I'm pretty sure they're going to be the 3. But other than that, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, 2-game lead over OKC with 8 games to go.
I think it's 3 in the loss column, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, but when you look at, like, so they're 14.5 back of the Rockets. That's what I do. I just look at the games back mm-hmm. and then do math. They're 14.5 back of the Rockets. The Thunder are 16.5 back. So there's a 2-game swing between those two.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I think 1, 2, and 3 are solidified, but I think the rest of it, that's what, look, as a fan, you love to see that, but I think as one of those top 3 teams, you're constantly looking at it, and there's no way you can start pre-planning and scouting teams that you're going to, you have to be prepared to play anybody at this point, because it could go down to that final game.
Yeah, that's what's going to be crazy.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, that's going to be fun, though. That's going to make for some fun basketball over the next week and a half.
No doubt about it. And this is what the NBA always wanted when they, you know, regardless of how they tweak the system, they just want there to be meaningful games the final week of the season. And on both sides of the ledger, Eastern and Western Conference, you get that this year.
Hey, did you guys spend a lot of time looking at video from Johnny Manziel's pro day?
I know.
All day. No,
now,
I did not.
The rumor is he's going to throw at A&M's pro day.
That's what he did. He threw at A&M's pro day.
The first story was that everybody was coming to see Johnny Manziel when he was throwing at San Diego State. No, he was just there to help out the players that were being looked at. But now, because of all the hype and the crap that's been thrown out there, now it's like all of a sudden resurrect Johnny Manziel's career.
I don't know if it was Twitter or where, but I'm scrolling through one of my timelines, and here's a video. Johnny Manziel deep ball. No, I'm good. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. That's not something I need
to say. I think Charlie Pillow started this, but should it just be John Manziel at this? Because we're all hoping he grows up. Because Johnny sounds like the little kid he was.
No. Johnny. Okay. There's grown-ass men named Johnny. Johnny Carson.
He's plus, dead, that he would lose. Dead, that's part of his image almost. Like his name. That's his name, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Johnny Two Hits.
Well, we know the Aggie fans will be chiming in because they can't wait to hear about Johnny.
No. Gets none from me. I'm over Johnny.
There's your Wayback Wednesday. Play El DeBarge or DeBarge with Where's Johnny from that stupid robot movie. Oh, there you go. All right, we got 1 hour in the book. Still two to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere and feel free to join us. That's why we call it The Usual Suspects. If you're a suspect and you want to get in, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line where you can call and you can text or you can tweet us. And we're looking at Twitter throughout the show. Don't go anywhere. Second hour on deck. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.